Welcome to the Beauty Revival Podcast, where you're taken on a journey of miracles, transformation, and radical beauty, inside and out. I'm your host, MB York. I'm a celebrity makeup artist, esthetician, former spa owner, and product developer. This isn't just another beauty podcast. This is a movement. I'm bringing you my best anti-aging, beauty, skincare, and makeup tips, but we're going way deeper. From Hollywood sets to the supernatural, from breaking free of toxic relationships to unlocking the divine power within you, this is where beauty meets faith and transformation begins. Say goodbye to society's toxic traps and hello to God's mission for your life. So if you're ready, hit play and let's get started. So welcome to another episode of Beauty Revival. And today I'm talking about From Henry Bendel to Harrods, Escaping the Department Store Delusion. So there I was at Henry Bendel, surrounded by 60 beauty brands in a sea of very serious, in a hurry, New Yorkers in dark brown lipstick. By the time I got to Harrods, I realized the game was the same everywhere. Dominate or disappear. But what if there's another way to stand out? One that doesn't cost you your peace or your purpose. So that's my little intro. I'm going to tell you a few stories. Again, pulling back the curtain of the beauty industry and telling you about my journey. So years ago, I really, really wanted to get my products in Henry Bendel in New York City. I just thought it was a great fit because they do a lot of like indie niche type of brands. And if you're not familiar with the store, it's on Fifth Avenue. I think it's still there. It was just beautiful and just unique things with a massive beauty department on the ground floor. So I literally took about 2 years chasing that opportunity. And I remember being at a trade show of some kind. It wasn't a trade show. It was like a conference for beauty developers, beauty brands. And one of the speakers, I believe, was a buyer for Henry Bendel. And so I was able to connect with her. And with a lot of follow-up, I finally got my big break and was given a week-long pop-up at Henry Bendel. So it's a way that they can see if you hit your numbers and if they want to take on your brand. And it was such a learning experience. It was super exciting. And I'm really glad I did it no matter what, because, you know, it's funny in retrospect, looking back at all the things I have done, that I was shown enough about every avenue to really get a grasp of the entire industry. And you know, I know there's a lot of fantasy involved when you think about having your store, your products in a department store. And I'm going to go through that because I've seen a lot enough to know how challenging it really is, and how you really have to be a huge brand to dominate. And otherwise, the challenges are extreme, at which I'll share. So I finally got my opportunity for Henry Bendel, and they gave me a week. So I had to fly there from Scottsdale. I had to book a hotel, obviously, which was very expensive for 7 days. And they put me like kind of way in the back of the makeup department. Like you walk in and the bottom floor, I don't think I'm exaggerating if I want to say there was like 60 brands there. And they put me back by the elevator that was like going up to, I know Frederick Fekai had a salon there on the top floor, and, you know, some of the other departments. And so it was so exciting. No matter where they put me, I was glad to be there. But I very quickly got to see what a challenge it was going to be, especially being in the back. So what I learned was in the front of the store, like right when you walk in, there was one brand. And at the time, it was called Freeze 24/7. And it was some type of a cream that you put on and it like freezes your wrinkles. And they were just obviously the dominating brand at the time. They had several employees, I want to say like 8 to 10, and, you know, huge banners everywhere. And anyone that walked in the store got absolutely pounced on by them. So by the time anyone would get back to me, everyone was just like on their phone looking down. And I described it like the angry New Yorkers. It's just a different vibe than what I'm used to coming from Scottsdale. Everyone is just in such a hurry, and the women were all wearing like dark brown lipstick. And I was just like, I felt like I was plucked from a different planet into this whole setting. And it was such a challenge. And I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this? Because by the time they got to me, you know, nobody was looking up. And how do you get anyone's attention? And I just had this thought that I was just going to start going for like the blonde LA tourist. And it's funny because whenever I went up to a blonde woman, she was always super receptive and, oh yeah, I would love to try your stuff. And they would come over and they would buy everything and we would bond and they'd give me their cell number. And I even met Heather Mills, who was shopping with her makeup artist, and he was super cool and immediately like called Kelly Ripa's makeup artist. So I was making connections and basically doing it all by just completely ignoring the local New Yorkers and just looking for the tourists. And it worked for me, but it was not easy. It was still a challenge. And I still did hit my projected numbers. I believe it was like a 50-50 split I had to do with the department store. And they gave you a goal for the week. And I did hit my numbers, but it was not easy. And I was working, I don't know if the store was open like 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., something like that. I was working the entire shifts. And if I wanted to take a break, I did hire a couple different people that were from some apps that I found and got them trained up. But if I had them there at all, they did not sell one single item. So I quickly saw that it was going to be an even bigger challenge if it wasn't me personally selling my products. And I did get to bond with some of the other employees of the store. I was the only like brand owner there that week. The other people were people that worked for Henri Bendel selling different brands, but I got a lot of inside scoop from them. And one day I remember it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe even later, somebody came over to me and said, "So did you open yet today?" And I was like, "Open yet? Like, what does that mean?" And she was like, "Sell anything." And I was like, yeah, you know, I had been selling stuff, but I was like, wow, these are huge brands like Chanel, you know, and by 2 in the afternoon, like they hadn't even had a single sale. So I started to just like really look at it with business eyes and think, how do they do it? How do they survive? Like when you're having to pay top dollar to these salespeople and they're not doing nearly what I was doing because I was hustling. And again, it was a little bit more unique and special that I was there as the brand owner. So, you know, I could say I'm just here as a pop-up this week. And I think that did help too, because people would feel like, okay, get it now, or maybe I'm not going to be back. And just the experience of, you know, meeting me as the person that created everything. And, you know, it was just a fun experience all around. So, but during that week that I was there, I also noticed them wheeling out like 3 different brands, makeup brands, makeup maybe and skincare that had been in the store for I don't know how long, but basically wheeling them out because they just were not selling. So I just realized, you know, between the grind, oh my gosh, just like walking from my hotel to the store, which wasn't far, but all the energy on the streets of the New Yorkers. And I'm like an empath. I'm super sensitive. And as exciting as it was so hard on me, like just my whole energy field and then going in and then having these huge stakes, you know, of having to hit these numbers and then realizing the challenges right out of the gate that most people are just going to resist. And I found that little secret sauce of picking the blonde LA tourists, which was hilarious and actually worked. But I was like, how can I sustain this? Because I'm not going to move to New York. And if I hire somebody else to sell my products, they're not going to sell. So I just realized they did invite me to come back because, again, I did hit the projected numbers. But I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. It was just too tough. And I felt like I had that experience under my belt and doing it a second time wouldn't really lead to anything. So I just took it as a learning experience. And I remember I was supposed to fly immediately from New York straight to LA for something I had going on in LA. And I was just so exhausted and, you know, spent that I had to postpone LA, change my flight, and come home for like the weekend to Scottsdale. I was like, I need to just go to yoga. I did yoga at the time. Like, I needed some detox just to like get New York off of me before I went to LA for whatever I had going on next. So, anyways, I just learned from that the only company that seemed to be successful was the Freeze 24/7. And I don't know how long that was sustainable for, where I think they all kind of have a shelf life with for how long they could sustain that type of energy. And obviously they were selling. And then, you know, once people bought from Freeze 24/7, they were like, okay, I got my beauty product. They weren't going to just mingle around to see what else was there, at least from what I saw. And again, it's just a much faster paced vibe in New York. People were just like cutting through the store to go out of it in the other, you know, parking lot. It was just like chaos. So that was my Henry Bendel story. I had a blast. Absolutely. It was cool meeting like Heather Mills and her makeup artist. And that led to some other connections with other makeup artists. And I always seem to get lucky in that regard. So it made for a great story. But in terms of a business development thing, the only way that would have worked would have been if I moved to New York and I just slowly built it, just like having a brick and mortar location anywhere else. And I worked it every day and considered my rent being half of what I made to give to Henry Bendel, which wouldn't be a terrible thing, but it would have been extremely stressful because it's so expensive to live in New York. And yeah. So, and to go back and forth again, I figured if I did another week there, by the time I paid all of my expenses, I was breaking even. So it didn't make sense. So next up, another little department store thing I'll tell you. My cousin went to Yale and Stanford and is super intelligent. And she did her own perfume line, which was really cool because it was based on this computer thing that you filled out and all of your preferences. And it was kind of a customized thing that they did with some other scents that were, or maybe it was customizing which scent would be best for you. But she got into Nordstrom and also Sephora and, you know, was super successful out of the gate. And when they did her opening at the Nordstrom in Scottsdale, they had whatever their show is that they do, the twice yearly thing where it's like a fashion show and they bring in some of the creators. And she was there and was able to launch her perfume line. So we went to support her and Went to the fashion show, which was upstairs, and she did her little talk, and it was super cute, and we were so excited for her. And then once it was over, everyone would go down the elevator to run to buy the products and the things that were promoted during the fashion show. So I immediately ran down to her area where her perfume was and bought several bottles to support her as gifts for the holidays or whatever it was. But I quickly noticed, because then she came down there too, and there was like a lot of people that came running down to meet her and to buy stuff, but they only had like one person ringing up her sales. And then I noticed, you know, there was a lot of activity going on with other brands too. So people were like excited, but then they would only wait so long and they just would wander off. And so immediately I saw, wow, this is a bummer because they should have been really ramped up to capitalize on all those people, but they weren't. And then I know like a further challenge that she had was, again, like just competing with all the other brands and getting their employees to sell your product. And ultimately, I don't know how long she was in Nordstrom, but ultimately it wasn't sustainable. So again, you have your huge brands, you know, like Chanel and people that have been in business for 30 years that are obviously dominating. But when it comes to like breaking in and the indie brands, that's just another example that I've seen that has been super eye-opening, because again, you kind of have this fantasy like, oh, I'll get into the department stores and like, you know, you've made it. Well, no, you haven't. It's like another thing that you have to build and grow and mature and, you know, again, somehow survive. And I've heard so many horror stories. Like there was one brand that told me they were owed like $3 million from, I won't say which department store, but one that you know very well, and just were never paid. And so there's just so many levels of dysfunction that come in, and you just go, how do brands survive that? And, you know, I don't know, but yeah. So the next story I'm going to share is when I was on a shopping channel in London. It was called Ideal Vitality TV. And I got that opportunity. Obviously, at the time, I was on HSN, or maybe that was winding down, I'm not sure, but they had reached out and asked me to come to London and be on their show. And I thought, how exciting. Like, again, just an opportunity for a great trip. You know, if I sell some products, great. Just seemed like a fun opportunity. And I also really wanted to go to Harrods. So that was the only real thing I wanted to do in London. And I'm trying to think if that was my first time there or not. I think maybe it was. And my husband at the time came with me. And it's just funny when you get out of your bubble and then you see different cultures and how people are, especially when it relates to like makeup and skincare, it's completely different. And I remember I had to take a train from London to the city where my the studios were, and just seeing all these little towns and seeing the people and just being like, whoa, like they are not glam like we are. And not even that my makeup products were glam. Everything was very like just teaching people easy ways for everyday type of makeup is what I did. Like my Paint by Number eyeshadow was one of the things that I sold there. Hey, real quick, if you're loving the tips and stories I'm sharing, you've got to check out the beauty products I've created. These aren't just any products. My beauty ammo kit has been used on Hollywood sets and on shows like Dancing with the Stars, and my Paint by Number eyeshadow kit was featured twice on the Today Show, and it was a 5-star customer pick on HSN. I'm offering them as a bundle for just $99 to my Beauty Revival Launch listeners, and it is $155 value. If you're looking for lifted skin, brighter eyes, and that youthful glow, my magical trio is your new best friend, featuring the fan favorite Lift and Snap Serum, my Unpack Your Bags Eye Gel, and the Marine Magic Moisturizer. Oh, and don't miss my Supernatural Brow product. It helps them get thicker with castor oil, and it's really easy to use. And if you want the most flattering, shimmery lipstick ever, Capri is it. Inspired by my travels and looks stunning on absolutely everyone. Head to mbyork.com to shop all of my best sellers. I even bundle them in kits to keep it easy. That's mbyork.com. The link is in the show notes. It's time to get glowing. But anyways, it was really exciting. I wasn't expecting it at all, but when I got there, and I didn't know until I was live on air, they had shot this commercial for me where they took their employees like out into the wilderness, and they were all dressed in camouflage, and it was this crazy music, and they were all like throwing my beauty ammo around, and it was hilarious. And so it was such a surprise to be introduced and see all the work that they put into supporting my brand, which that made me feel amazing. Because again, it was just a much bigger wheel that was always spinning with HSN. And this was a smaller, obviously, company, but they were really excited to have me and went above and beyond. It was just such a great experience. The hosts were hilarious. And again, just the accents and all of it was so different from what I was used to. And it was just a really fun experience overall. And so like the day after my shows, we went to Harrods. And again, Harrods is a couple blocks long. It's just this giant department store in London. And I'm always like on the lookout for just unique things. Like that's what I was always looking for my spas when I was doing merchandising for it. I'm not really big on just all the big brands, you know. I feel like Dior and Chanel and all that. I did go through it all. You know, it's just not really my thing. Every once in a blue moon, I might buy something from a big brand. I have to feel like I really earned it, and it has to be something that I just feel is super unique. It's not about flexing the label, but I thought I'll definitely find like some unique things that you can't find anywhere else. And that's what I was on the hunt for. But I was really disappointed to find out that as soon as you walked into Harrods, everything was Juicy Couture. Okay. They were the freeze 24/7 of London. And so Juicy Couture was everywhere. And this was like not in their heyday, really. Cause I remember wearing Juicy Couture before my daughter was born. And I would wear those jumpsuits when I was pregnant. And this was after that. So, but they again had beauty and every type of, you know, kids' clothes, women's clothes. But as soon as you walk in, there's like Juicy Couture, like cotton candy machines, like everything was that brand. And I'm like, okay, I'm not buying Juicy Couture in London. And I walk through, my husband at the time was like, he bought a bunch of stuff and he was like, why aren't you getting anything? And I'm like, I just don't get anything out of buying a $2,500 skirt. And it just seemed like it was either Juicy Couture or super expensive couture, nothing in between. So I just realized, like, through both of those experiences, that you either dominate or you get lost. It's not sustainable in that middle echelon. And it took some pressure off of me because, again, I was just getting a front row seat again of the dynamics of how you do it. And it feeling like, oh, I'm going to get into Harrods next. And no, you're not. If you do, it's going to be a repeat of what you just did with Henri Bendel. And, you know, if you don't have like millions of dollars that are being poured into these machines, you know, of these brands that then are the ones that are buying up like the smaller indie companies. I know, obviously, there's companies that got in and did a certain amount of success and were bought up by the bigger brands. And, you know, again, they change the formulas, they change everything, which is the only way to do it, you know, which I understand because even at my level, the manufacturing things that I go through, the problems I deal with at my level, I just think, wow, you know, they would never be able to handle like this type of massive distribution. So somewhere along the way, there's decisions that are being made that are compromising. And I'm not saying I would never do it, but I'm just telling you how it works. So when I got back from London and I was looking in every direction, because I was like, wow, all the challenges that I had 4 years of HSN, you know, waiting 8 months to get paid six figures and more, you know, seeing the Henri Bendel reality, you know, having had 10 years of owning my spas and just being so burnt out on the employees and the challenges that came with that. And that just being such a full-time job too, that you can't manage the brick and mortar and be, you know, leveling up your brand simultaneously. So I just thought, you know, what else can I do? And I thought, okay, I'm writing a screenplay. And I did. And it was called Survival of the Prettiest. And the tagline was celebrity makeup artist MB York climbs the ladder of the beauty industry, fighting the war against wrinkles, but finds true meaning fighting the meat industry instead. And it was my whole vegan story. And at the same time, I was very, like, I was launching Meatless Mondays in Arizona, and I was very invested in that story, which I'm still vegan, about 90% vegan, vegetarian for 30 years. And I started pitching the screenplay in Hollywood. I had like 3 years of pitching that I did, and it was so much fun. And I just found right out of the gate that I did have a talent for writing, and it seemed to be one of those things where, like, I was winning little contests, and if a door opened, like I was winning the door prize kind of thing. And I just felt like it was God saying, come this way, come this way. And so I had so much fun. I was taking like pitch classes where you learn how to pitch your screenplay. And that was so much fun because you'd have to listen to other people's pitches. And, you know, it's a skill. Like, somebody might have a great movie, but not be able to pitch it. They would tell you what it was about, and you would just be staring at them like, I have no idea what you just told me. So by practicing and getting feedback, I really learned how to pitch my movie. And then I would do these pitch seminars or conferences where all the studios would be there. And granted, it was like kind of their low level people that work for the studio, but they would listen and they were always on the hunt for a good idea. And I got a lot of great feedback. I had a couple years of meetings with some really big studios, and I was even offered a reality show at the time. But I turned it down because this was at the time where like the Kardashians were really huge, and some of those other shows like The Tanning on Sunset. But I just did not want to do something where it was going to be all about drama and, you know, throwing my friends under the bus. I had to keep coming up with characters, and I just was like, no, I'm not doing this. I really wanted it to be about my screenplay, about my products, about my true journey, about business. I didn't want it to be about personal drama. So I turned that down. And I don't regret it at all, really. I mean, there were times I was like, God, I could have made so much more money and just capitalized on that. But I feel like it would have been a trade-off in some regards that had really high stakes. So I did not do that. But one of the challenges that I had in my pitch meetings is when they talk about your storyline, you know, every character in the story has a character arc, and you know, you get to your page 100 or 90 or whatever it is, where it's like, all is lost. You know, they climb the ladder, everything crumbles. My all is lost, you know, moment was like going through my divorce. You know, my marriage crumbled, my spas closed down, you know, HSN finally was like over, which shocked me. And I put so much work into that. And you know, that's another episode, how it eventually, the door was just closed on that. And I'll to this day say, not my fault. Everything I did, I was always successful there. They would just set you up to fail. And it's a miracle I hung on for as long as I did there. But my all is lost moment, everything crashed. And then I pivoted and I started going to these animal rights conferences and learning all more stuff about the industry with animals and animal abuse. And I launched Meatless Mondays in Arizona, and I was on TV all the time for, you know, teaching my flexitarian lasagna recipes and partnering with restaurants. And I was just go, 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 go. But I couldn't explain how my character evolved. And I was just stuck there. I was like, okay, I was still being performative. I was still going in another direction, thinking, well, this is more authentic because now I'm aligning more with the animals and the animal abuse in this story. But I wasn't in the story, really. It was like, what had happened to me? And so now I'm finally able to look back and see that the problem was I hadn't had my full transformation yet. And that didn't come for several years later. And my full transformation is my whole beauty revival. And it's my beauty revival story, you know, which now I've done my podcast. I'm on like episode 21 right now. My book, which is in the final stages of editing, which I keep talking about. I'm really hoping we can get it out there in just a matter of weeks. So that's going to explain my full character arc. And I've been doing it in different episodes here, and I won't go totally into it. But it is about me being aligned with my true mission, which is what the mission that God has for me. And so, again, it's just like not chasing that approval, the performing. It's that God wasn't calling me to dominate, like he was positioning me to illuminate. So when I got aligned with my beauty revival model, it was now I'm truly in my lane where I'm teaching other people how to get aligned in their mission, and it's what God wants for you. So again, it goes back to that same thing that rejection is God's protection. And I just think if I would have like gone all the way with HSN or with any of these other opportunities, I really don't think I would ever have found my relationship with God and with Jesus and where I am now. It would have became my idol. Money would have became my idol. Success would have became my idol. Like, and managing all of those things does not leave time to like look inward. It doesn't. The busiest I ever was the most unhappy I ever was. It was so much work, all of the corporate side of it, and the red tape and the numbers and the, you know, amount of just spreadsheets, and it was horrible. And I get that you can get to a level, you know, where other people are handling all of that for you, but not without a big price. And it's funny because one of the brands, you hear all the horror stories at HSN in the green room. We would always say what happens in the makeup room stays in the makeup room. The green room is like attached to the makeup room. But I would talk to so many big brand owners, and everyone had the same challenges, you know, whether they were selling hangers or food or whatever. everyone had horror stories of things that they went through. And I remember there was one brand there that had some huge success story where they were bought out by this big company and like millions of dollars. And it was just like one of those stories where everyone's just like, wow. And I remember that week that I was at Henri Bendel, I was on an elevator, and of all people, the creator of that line was in the elevator with me. And I had said something like, wow, congrats on your big deal. And she was like, oh, you have no idea. It's all gone south. I'm in a huge lawsuit. I've lost everything. Like in a 3-floor elevator ride, she told me like a horrific story. And again, I feel like it was God, like just shining a light on, once again, something, the illusion that appeared to be this big success and what it really was. And again, if you're not doing the right partnerships too, like that's the other thing when you get into business with someone else or another retailer or whatever, and they don't have the same values as you, you're unequally yoked and you're setting yourself up for failure. So I learned that too, that I have to be so careful of who I align with. And if I'm doing business with people that aren't valuing me and maybe aren't, you know, showing me with their communications or whatever, that it's God's way of showing me this is not the right opportunity. So I don't chase after things anymore. I've just learned I'm staying in my lane and just only doing the things that are crystal clear that God is backing for me. So in closing, I just want to say, you know, to if you're building something, to build it from your mission and not from your dream of success. Even a meeting I had a couple weeks ago with somebody about a new product that they're trying to get me to sell something with stem cells. You know, he had said, I just have this dream, this vision of having my own brick and mortar store and my name on that store. And I get it, you know, but again, it's not, it, the fantasy of it and the reality are two completely different things. And you need to be buckled up and ready for everything that comes along with it in whatever category you're in. So do your homework, do your business, take some business classes, you know, and talk to people, get as much information as you can, learn the worst of the worst that could happen from other people before you're locked into a 10-year lease and dealing with, you know, seasonal challenges or whatever it may be. So in closing, it took me years to realize that you don't have to dominate to matter. You just have to be aligned. And sometimes letting go of what you thought was your big break is exactly what clears the space for your real breakthrough. So who knows, maybe with a few rewrites, a true character arc, and an MB York who finally knows her worth, Survival of the Prettiest will become the blockbuster it was always meant to be, a film with a message of beauty, business, and breakthrough with a mission. So yeah, I haven't completely let go of that dream, and time will tell and God will let me know if it's meant to be. The opportunity will come to me. So go out there, make it a great day, a great week. And thank you as always for listening to my stories. I hope that you learned something. Have a great day. Bye. That's a wrap on today's episode of Beauty Revival. Remember, true beauty starts in the mind and spirit. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. If today's message spoke to you, share this episode with a friend who needs a little beauty revival in their life. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It helps more women just like you step into their God-given glow. For more inspiration, beauty tips, and faith-fueled empowerment, connect with me on Instagram at mbyork.beauty. And check out my website, mbyork.com. Until next time, stay radiant, stay revived, and let's glow.